I want to follow up on, you had a mattress problem. There was like a mattress saga. Do you like your mattress now?
Okay, so yes. Thank you for following up on that. Uh-huh. Thanks for the circle back. We had a really tall mattress and then we got a different mattress, but we like the mattress now. What's funny is my husband doesn't like when there's dips where your bodies are.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody likes it, but I also don't care about it.
What happens when you want to come together? You go to one side or the other.
You gotta pick a side.
I don't like that.
Anyway, the first mattress, he felt like had the dips. And I didn't. I can sleep fine most anywhere. So we got a second mattress. And when I make the bed, the dips are so visible on the second mattress.
Right.
But he loves it.
It's not about the dips.
No, it's never about the dips, no. Katie. That's what we always...
Dip. Who put the dip in the dip, the dip, the dip?
Ladies, welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show dedicated to helping you love your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. So at the top of the show, you heard my sister and I talking about mattresses, you know, the important stuff. For those of you who love the show and want to show your support and get additional content and access to a private Facebook group full of hundreds of other moms struggling well, head on over to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. You can join for as little as a dollar a month. I want to thank Andrea, Brooke, Teresa, and Stacy who just joined us. We are so glad you're here, ladies. We cannot wait to get to know you better. Sorry to those of you who love getting the show bright and early on Monday morning. I had delay after delay getting the show ready, and I was finally about to get it going, and then I had the worst case of hiccups that I maybe have ever had. I think my husband thought I was making it up because they were obnoxious. And I did not want to do that to my sweet producer and make her edit out all those hiccups. So better late than never. Here we are. My guest this week is Elisa Keaton. She's made such an impact on my life. And if you know who she is, I'm sure she has on yours as well. So several months ago, I was just not feeling well. And I knew I needed to do something, but I did not know what. And I was feeling really discouraged. And I thought that would be a good podcast episode where I am way too vulnerable and Elisa Keaton can fix it. And so that's what we did. So get ready to learn more about me than you even wanted to know, but listen to her words and apply them to your life, and we will all be in a better place. Are you ready? All right, let's get real. Hello.
Look at me, clean, showered, and with a shirt that doesn't have spandex in it.
I was going to say, how are you even going to work out in that?
I already did. My ring should have closed and told you so.
Yeah, it's really something to get. Elisa did another workout. Oh, Elisa's done four workouts today.
Shut up. You make me sound like I'm some type of orthorexic.
Well, I don't know that word, but I think that you might be a machine, some kind of robot. That's fine.
I enjoy moving.
So listen, I do want to start off by saying I am beating you today. According to my watch, I'm at 122%.
You're not updated. Wait, what?
I'm at 122%.
You must have a goal of like 50 calories then. What's your goal?
340 calories.
Not 340. It's like move points, I think, or I don't know. Okay, hold on. Let me look and see.
You're at 84%. I'm at 123%. So I just need you to know I'm winning.
How is that possible?
Well, you're 2 hours behind me, so I had two more hours to try to.
Wow, you're right.
And I've done a lot of jumping jacks because I knew we were going to be on the phone.
Maybe this is all you needed for the jump start, was just your phone call to Lisa.
Okay, so the reason I asked you here, it all started from a text message when I was in Missouri and I woke up and I'm like, what has become of my life? Something's got to change. I will text Elisa because you just are naturally such a cheerleader.
Yes.
And so I've written down several reasons why people don't want to start their health journey again. So I feel like I'll play the part of the discouraged, overweight, busy, middle-aged woman.
Okay. Got it. Never known those before.
And you can tell me why. Really, this is selfish. I just want to have this recording to play for myself. let's just also let other people hear it as well.
Absolutely. Those are the best ones.
Okay. And I think you probably, you're just really good at talking and saying things.
Saying random things.
Off the cuff. So some of these are, I'm going to sound really negative and unhealthy, but I don't feel these all the time. But I also know that I'm not the only one who struggles with this, obviously. So
yeah, totally.
Okay. So number one, I don't really care and I'm not motivated.
You don't care. Okay. But why are we having this conversation?
I really care.
And there we are.
That was easy. It's just hard to be motivated for longer than a couple days. Like I can do it for like 3 solid days. And then because nothing changes, I stop. And then I have to start over again in a little while from basically scratch. So I never get past the very uncomfortable beginning of a change.
What's the change? When you say nothing changes, describe that to me.
I want to be at my goal weight in 3 days.
Right. And that's never going to happen. Yes. So this goes back to, what is your motivation? If your motivation truly is, I just want to lose weight. Then you got to submit yourself to, this is going to suck, I'm going to hate it, and do it. But see here, you know, Revelation Wellness, we don't ever talk why are we doing that? Because that's a slippery pig. You can chase it down. You can strive and lean into it. I could show up at your doorstep every day at 7 a.m. saying, come on, Emily, it's time for our workout. And you would probably do it. And you would lose the weight as long as you followed the eating plan. But it wouldn't stay. And it wouldn't be something that you have ownership of, because I would be the one prompting you. So what, again, I ask you, nothing changes. What is about you that the weight, you're not happy at the weight you are? What is this connection to your own body that you don't even, because you've got to start with the appreciation factor, so that you're doing something out of, this is a get to, this is a grateful. I'm grateful that I get to go move it for 10 minutes or whatever it is you're going to do.
Yes. If you know VeggieTales, you're going to love the Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids. It's the first ever storybook Bible written by VeggieTales and What's in the Bible creator, Phil Vischer. The people at Jelly Telly know that it can be hard to get our kids excited about reading the Bible. In order for our kids to be engaged, you need a Bible that makes learning fun. But the problem is, most kids' Bibles include a lot of very serious storytelling, because God's story is serious. But sometimes those very serious retellings of the Bible can make me think, at least, that my kids are not going to get it, if they even pay attention at all. Jelly Telly believes the Bible should be fun. That's why they've partnered with one of the best children's storytellers of our time to create the Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids. It's the gospel in 52 5-minute Bible stories. This Bible is more than a children's Bible storybook. It's deep, it's engaging, there's laugh out loud parts. It is a really fun gospel experience. The Laugh and Learn Bible for Kids doesn't go on sale until September 10th, but Jelly Telly is offering my listeners a special pre-sale deal. Visit laughandlearnbible.com, use coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, to pre-order the Bible for $9.99. That's half off. And you get a free download of a coloring book so your kids can color as you read together. You'll also receive a sample of the audio Bible narrated by Phil Vischer himself. So pre-order the Laugh and Learn Bible for your kids today. Go to laughandlearnbible.com, use coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, and save 50%. I think that I don't feel good in my body. I'm heavier than I have ever been. And I've been here for about 6 years. And so I'm starting to believe that this is my body. But I don't, it's not that I'm trying to be tiny. I'm just trying to be able to cross my legs without it being uncomfortable and be, you know what I mean? It's things like that. I think after a amount of time where you're not in a place of wellness, you begin to believe you can't be at a place of wellness. And then you think, I can try this. And then you run out of your own energy in a couple days when it doesn't change. And you just don't feel like it's for you. So I think I'm believing that a lie, that wellness is not for me.
Yeah. And we've had that. You've mentioned that before when we did our hike in Arizona. Because you're just like, it's just so hard. I just don't stay with it. It just, there's a lie that I don't believe wellness is for me. I want to ask the question though you say, like, I just don't like your body and how it feels. Can you remember a time that you really enjoyed being in your body, that you felt at home in your body?
That's a good question. I think that when I was adopting my daughter, it was a very stressful time. And because of all the anxiety, it didn't matter what I ate, nothing stayed on me. So I was thin, but it's because I was under incredible amount of stress. I liked the way my body felt. I did not like the way my mind felt.
Wow.
As soon as I calmed down, I gained all the weight back because I started to feel.
So you just totally unlocked something right there. You yourself just unlocked your own stronghold, the key. Your mind and your body are not connected.
Mm.
Because if your mind is anxious and it produced something for you, you're like, now I like my body. And then if you shift into a place of enjoyment or whatever, then you can't, then your body is the enemy.
Yes, because when I lived in England with my husband and he was abusive when I was in my 20s, I was also incredibly thin, but I was also under the most stress of my life. So the only times I've ever liked my body is when I've been under incredible amount of stress.
Oh, that's huge. Like, have you said this out loud to yourself before? I've never heard you say that.
I guess my issue then is the only way I know forward is to really have something terrible happen to me. No. I don't believe that I can do this in a healthy way.
Okay, so here's what's exciting. You are not the problem here. This is not your fault. You, and this is what's so exciting, Emily, because I just keep reading more and more. I'm like asking the Lord, because we've always said it's not about the weight, it's not about the food. And yeah, it's not. But we know that it's still, you got to make some choices to help, like support it. So why don't I choose the thing that I know will lead me into a better state of mental health and being? So there is, I don't often like to use the word, but you've mentioned it in your life, that you have like trauma that you have gone through in your life, whether this relationship that you once had, he was your ex-husband, wasn't he? Or no?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, ex-husband. That's right. And then even the trauma with your daughter, and there trauma comes in all kinds of places, but it's any time we feel overwhelmed, our body shuts down. When you're overwhelmed, there's something going on that you literally, it's that fight, flight, or freeze thing shows up, because that's the trauma side of the brain that just gets you through it. It just hangs out. It just stays there. You freeze and that holding pattern, it gets locked into your body. So your body says, I don't want to be well. Like you don't have that connection. So here's the good news though. There is a way through this. And this is partly what I've been growing in and learning more and leading the podcast more this way too. It's getting back in touch with your limbic brain, with your fears and with all this that has happened. One way that has been proven, it's called limbic therapy. And again, this is where it's like, it's not very sexy, because I'm going to tell you some things that you can do. And I don't know, is that what you're asking me? Do you want stuff that you can do?
Just fix it.
Okay. But see, I'm going to tell you stuff that you could do, but then here's the good news. The things I'm about to say have nothing to do with jumping jacks.
Good. I hate jumping.
There's no jumping. Good. No jumping. But you will jump eventually.
Yeah.
You will jump eventually, because that's the sign. Even I love that in the Bible, I can't remember which person Jesus healed, but one of them, when they were they left with leaping, like they were leaping. And that's just a sign of inner joy. Like your soul just goes, I just leap. Like
I'm not that.
And I think that's just what we're designed for. But what's been buried alive in these feelings that get locked into the limbic part of the brain. So for people that are listening, just so I can give you a little bit of brain neuroscience, it's fun fact. Your limbic brain is the earliest part of your brain that's developed. It's the stem of your brain. It's about 15 weeks in your mother's womb. It was the part of your brain that began to form. You could have sensory, you could feel things in your mother's womb. Like all these things are happening, but it's very primitive and it's young. And over the years you come out, the brain continues to grow. And it isn't until you're in your mid-20s that you get a full-fledged brain where there's full growth and a frontal lobe, which is where all your reasoning happens. So the limbic brain is purely there. It's why a baby comes out and cries, because there's sensory, I'm cold, cry. So response, emotion, go. That's why it's really important that as children, where we held, where we gazed upon, where our eyes looked into us, and like, I know for a fact, I was birthed to a mom who was anxious, a mom who was very on pins and needles. And so I had a hard time connecting with my daughter. Like, how do I do this nurturing thing? So anyways, that being said, that's a whole nother parenting podcast, but how you've been cared for from your mother's womb is part of what's going on in your brain development at a young place at the stem. So you learn how to fight, flight, or freeze. You learn how to just get your needs met. It's no reasoning. It doesn't matter. It's why you get in arguments. It's why you get mad. It all comes from the limbic part of the brain. But then that prefrontal medial cortex is up high. That, again, doesn't close until you're in your mid-20s, but it's your place to reason. You do have some reasoning. Like right now, I think we both have young kids. Like your daughter's how old?
11.
11, and my daughter's 15. They have some reasoning, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick very long. They're really relying on us as sounding boards, but that's why we have to leave a lot of grace for them to like miss, you know, to miss the mark, to fall, and then have a place to feel like it's okay for me to fall. Because if we fall and we do it wrong, the limbic brain lights up and we become more disconnected to ourselves. So in our homes, we're either fostering connection back to ourselves with what are we feeling? What are we thinking? I feel mad. I feel bad. I feel sad. I feel scared. Where you can talk about your feelings and not feel, just do your feelings, that you can feel your feelings and not do your feelings. So you've developed this brain over time that has just been in the limbic place. Doesn't mean you haven't done some really good prefrontal medial cortex reasoning, but over time, that limbic brain, especially when it comes to your body, it is the place that if that limbic area doesn't get nurtured, cared for, then you'll always feel a sense of a disconnection from your body. So that's, I'm just letting people know. There's a reason you're crazy and it's not your fault, but you can do something about it. And this is why you've been on a cycle of, I hate my body. I love my body. I hate my body. Okay. No, I love my body. And you say the right things because that's what Jesus says, but then you don't do it because there is disconnection from your cognitive brain to your emotional brain. Okay. Yes. So now I'll just jump right in. The first thing you could be doing to help yourself heal your limbic brain and get back online emotionally and cognitively is something that we call a body scan, where your workout tomorrow or whatever day is, honestly, get in your closet, which I know you know well, and just lay down on the floor. And honestly, I've just created a podcast for this. It's called the Bad Body Scan Podcast.
Oh, cool.
For Revelation Wellness, but it won't come out. I think it comes out in like 2 weeks. So I don't know when you're playing this, but you can check it out on the podcast. But even if they don't have that, you can do this. Don't need anyone to guide you through it, but it helps. And all you're going to do is lay on your back, or you can even do it standing up, and then just move through a process of, can I feel my feet right now? What do my feet feel like? Moving, do they have sensation? Can I feel air on my feet? Like, just be curious about your feet. I know it sounds weird, but you're trying to get the feelings, because touch, taste, sound, feel all happen from the limbic part, and then connecting with thoughtfulness to your body. And then you just kind of scan up, you know, like a Xerox machine.
Yeah.
Just going through your body slowly. Can I feel like, what are my shins and thighs feel like? And also, by the time you get done feeling your feet, you're just going to go kind of in your mind, let it dissolve, and then move up the body. That is it. That process of just spending a little bit of time getting into your body. And of course, for us as Christians, as believers, invite the Lord into this. Like, don't just do this on your own for just therapy's sake. Like, that's the difference. The world will do this kind of limbic behavior for people to help them make better choices and live the life they want. But there's no Jesus. And we've been offered something in Jesus that goes, you don't have to make this difficult, just lay down. But we can take these tools. And I think revelation will come for you. You might be sad. You might find yourself feeling disgusted when you get to your thighs, and then you're just supposed to observe the fact that you feel, not judging yourself for feeling disgusted or whatever. But then for us as Christians, if you feel the disgust, like, have, like, the Lord is with you in that. Let him talk to the place of your stomach or whatever it is. I know it sounds hooky kooky, but there's
this kindness that we're just not giving ourselves.
Yes.
That a time of rest, you can do that.
And then just, like you say, feel the feelings and don't do them. Don't get up when you're disgusted and go have a cookie because screw it.
No, exactly. Just feel it. And like, believe, that's why I can't wait. When the podcast comes out, I think it'll be really helpful for a lot of people, but it really is like, Lord, I love this part of my body. Thank you that this part of my body's done something, but also it does go back to just having to feel your feelings and know your thoughts, feeling your feelings and knowing your thoughts. Cause that's something that happens only up in the prefrontal medial cortex, to be observing your feelings, feeling your thought or feeling them. And then allowing them to happen down in the young brain is important. That alone will bring good health to you.
Okay. I like it.
Next thing for limbic therapy, healing your angry brain or healing the sad brain or just healing the traumatized brain. Next thing can be just tightening your body, like squeezing your toes and squeezing up your shins, squeezing your thighs and just like a full body kind of clench and then relax. Just doing that a few times, just like knowing that you're feeling all the aggression or all the frustration or all the madness or all the sadness, and then relieving and letting go. The letting go place comes up to the prefrontal medial cortex that says, hey, don't worry about it. So you're kind of feeling everything that's physical about you, all your aggression or whatever it is, and then letting go. It's just called tightening your body.
Okay, I want to stop the show for a second to tell you about a bra I love called Third Love. They have more sizes than most other brands. They have half sizes, which is really helpful, and they have a 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it. You can wash it, test it out, and if you don't love it, Third Love will get it washed and donate it to a woman in need. I love that. The labels have no tags, so there's no itching. It's lightweight, super thin, memory foam. It is hands down the most comfortable bra that you will own. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/SWP now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your purchase. That's thirdlove.com/SWP for 15% off today. You know, it's interesting. Hang on one second. I mean, this whole podcast is incredibly vulnerable for me. And I know you're going to planning to put it on yours too. So everybody's going to know, but I'm fine with that because I know I'm not by myself.
Amen.
But I even find in worship, like at church, I'll be tense. Mm. I even find, I mean, like intimacy with my husband, it just, everything that involves me feels tense when my body's involved in it. So I don't know. I just think that's really interesting. You would say that that would be helpful to tighten and then, and then experience what does a relaxed body feel like? Some of us don't know.
Yes. Amen. Simple. Never even thought about, oh, let me actually emphasize how stressed I am so that I can come like, oh, this is what letting go feels like. I also think in that place of like worship and intimacy and the sexuality in the bedroom with our husbands, that's the vulnerability place too. We feel vulnerable. Like, wait, if I put my hands up too high, well, no one else is putting their hands up. Or if I lay here with my naked body, I'm very vulnerable here. You know, that's a lot of love, really own, like coming all this vulnerability tells the limbic brain, you are never going to be safe. Like, don't cover, don't do anything where everything we read about the gospel says you're going to have to drop that. You're going to have to let that go. And it's like your strength is in your vulnerability. Mm. So
yeah, it's so interesting that I believe I've been able to develop vulnerability in a lot of ways. But yeah, I'm realizing when it comes to my body, like, nope, no thanks.
Oh, this is huge. Then do you, these are the things. I'm just so excited, Emily. First of all, you know, I'm like the biggest cheerleader of you and anyone who says, I want to get well. Yes, because it's totally possible. But now it's just a year from now of just doing these basic things. I believe a full-fledged 100%, you will not feel the same way about your body and exercise as you do now. And so wouldn't it be worth it if you just spent the next year coming home to yourself in your body, then going out and doing another program and starting another eating plan or whatever, like, then maybe a year from now, you'll be like, okay, I think I could actually enjoy doing the whole 30 and not feeling like restricted and like really left, like nourishing myself. This is all comes back to like, I want to get in my body. I want to nourish myself and get the care that I never got because of the trauma I've experienced.
Yeah. It was interesting this morning. I was doing one of your workouts. I can't remember the really intense girl with long brown hair. She looks like G.I. Jane.
Tammy.
Yes.
Tammy. Yeah. Tammy.
She do not want to meet her in a dark alley. She looks so intense. She's so sweet.
I keep her with me. She's my bodyguard. I keep her with me.
Yeah, she is. Well, anyway, you said at one point, like, your body is a good idea and it's got you this far. And I thought, it sure has gotten me through a lot. And it's so just the idea just that I'm not bad because look what I've done to myself.
Yeah.
Seeking comfort and not feeling, I don't know, just it takes a while for all of this to sink in, but it's also good. It's also true.
It's also needed. It's just nurturing back to a nurture place. And think about like our little bodies. Our bodies took all the information in before we had verbal words. Our little bodies, like I'm learning stuff right now. I mean, even babies that are born like C-section or had to be like my son was pulled out of me because I had a doctor who didn't believe in C-sections, which is great. I'm grateful he didn't because a C-section is traumatic for both the child and the mom. So either way, that's why you ever hear people, they ask sometimes behavioral therapists or mental health professionals will say, was your birth normal? Like, was your childbirth normal of your children or whatever? Like, was it anything like me being born? Was my birth into the world from my mom normal? So anyways, our bodies. So when my son came out, his head was like a cone. Like, so they used the suction cup. And I remember looking down at one point, like, you know, I have an epidural, but I looked at the doctor and his one thigh was like up on, like he had his foot up on the bed, his elbow wedged into his thigh and he was a big guy and he was pulling, shaking and sweating to get my son out. Okay. Now keep this in mind, my son, my sweet little boy, pre-verbal, has no words, can't do anything. All he can do is experience, right? And he's got a cord around his neck. All these things. And so his birth was traumatic and for him. That's not a normal birth. That was we've got him, but it's no one's fault. It's not his fault. It's not my fault. It's just the fallen world we live in. So my son, after we had the hardest time with him, he was super colicky, a lot of reflux, allergic to every food we could think of, fussy. It was just the hardest 3 months of our life. But I think a lot of it, I look back now and I'm like, a lot of that had to do with his trauma. And then here's me, a new mom. I'm trauma. I'm like, I wasn't mothered. I wasn't nurtured in like I didn't know how to calm the crying baby down. It stressed me out, right? Come on. I'm preaching to the moms like this. Yeah. It's stressful. Like, why won't they stop crying? And all that just unhealthy stress hormone in me and him. And it was hard to bond with him. But now as I look, and he's now an 18-year-old, my 18-year-old boy, like, I see it's just relationally, there's things that are hard for him. You know, it's just, he's figuring it out and nobody does it perfectly. But I do see like, me caring more for myself, if I would have been better in myself as a mom, if I could have known now what I know then, none of this was there for me. It would have at least helped me to be like, okay, I can feel my feelings. I can do a body scan. I can get into my body. I can get the words that I need to come out, not because I'm forcing them out, because God can actually come and encounter me in my body and indwell in me so that I can go out and be the mom I need to be. So, yeah.
So
anyways,
good.
Side note, I've got two more things you can do.
Tell me two more things.
Okay. Two more things. Breathing exercises. That one's easy. That one, y'all know, inhale, just take a minute to breathe. Inhale for the count of 5. Everyone, let's do it together. Sit up tall, purposeful, inhale, exhale for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale, 5, 3, 2, 1. Exhale, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so what I say to that is a really good, like, tell me someone who is still gonna like punch their kid after they've done a few breaths like that.
True.
It's just, it's so much harder.
Yeah.
It's reasonable to like, okay, let me get a moment to breathe or make a bad, you know, or like decide to eat the whole sleeve of Oreo cookies. Like,
yes.
Like, let me take a minute and breathe and get my limbic brain that's telling me eat, 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 comfort, comfort, comfort to connect with my reasoning brain. And then I can be in my body. So breathing exercises.
Well, and even the breathing on the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I love it.
Do you use it?
I do.
Do you use it? Yeah. I love it too. Cause it kind of sets the tempo for you.
Not as consistently as I should, but yes.
I know. Right. When I first wore my watch, I was like, oh, that's fun. And then we do it. Cause like, oh, that's fun. And then some days I'm like, ah, forget you. I'm busy. So you're not the boss of me. And then the same thing with breathing is I did it like a year ago. I challenged people to like spend a week, figure out your breathing prayer. And all week we were going to just, whenever you were triggered, whenever you were whatever, like you were going to inhale your breathing, inhale whatever it is you're saying, and exhale whatever it is you're saying. So it's like a breathing prayer mantra, whatever. And so many people email me after that and be like, it's changed me. It's changed my brain. I'm a better mom. This is crazy. I just feel like there's so much simple things that we're not doing in our life because we've put in so much information and so much self-saving ourselves and figuring ourselves out instead of the Psalm 46:10, cease striving and know God. The word literally means stop knowing and know God. That's what it's telling you. Stop knowing what you think you know. Shush. Quiet down. Body scan. Breathe. Breathing exercise, breathing prayer.
That would even be a great breath prayer. Cease striving, breathe in, know God, breathe out.
Yep.
It's like just that simple.
Yep, totally. My favorite thing right now is stop knowing, know God. I really want to know. I really want to fix it.
Yeah.
It's good. And then last thing, it's more like the cognitive strategies. And you guys, I think we do this every day. If you're in your word, that's a cognitive strategy. I'm renewing my mind. I'm thinking about things from a higher place because truly that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God, I mean, how many times have I gone into it in my limbic brain, into it in my trauma triggered, fearful, oh my gosh, brain. And then I just read it and read it and read it until I hear from Him in that high tower place. And then, okay. So that's why I feel like Christians that practice quiet time, you're doing it, but there's these other places where your brain, you're cognitively really smart, you're up here, but you haven't allowed yourself to fully come home to your body. Those are my assignments for you.
I love it. So, so good. That's what's kind of been frustrating is you have some time with the Lord in the morning, everything's great, but it's also everybody's asleep still, it's quiet. And then when you have to start actually interacting with other people, that's when it hits the fan. And then you think, well, that didn't work, but it did work. You haven't brought it with you. Like you'll say you need to hold your peace. Like it's an actual thing and you can hold it.
Yes.
It doesn't just mean shut up and don't open your mouth. It just means
totally hold
onto your peace. I love that.
And that would be such a good life thing. Like the tightening thing, like hold it, release, let God fight the battle.
Yes. Okay. So one of the things that I've been struggling with is that I do want to find comfort in the Lord. I do not want to abuse food.
Mm-hmm.
But food is just so comforting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from what I understand, you're saying doing these exercises just
they're called somatic limbic brain, somatic therapy healing. So bringing the body into the brain healing.
Okay. Taking a moment and employing one of those tools can help.
Can help, for sure.
Because sitting down and reading the Bible when I really just want to have something else doesn't quite hit it for me.
Yeah, I would totally love to see all your listeners and my listeners too, because we're going to share this podcast, that they would pick one of those things this week. I mean, this is the fun. I always say you got to be, and this isn't all, but this is just some good strategies to be spiritually adventuresome. Try some new things that you never thought to do before. You've been reading the Bible. It's not working, right? Like, girl, like it's not, it's doing something. Hear me. Keep reading your Bibles, everyone.
Right.
But yeah, like the breathing, I'm going to have a breathing prayer. I'm going to tighten all my bodies. I'm going to practice a body scan before I go to bed every night. I'm going to, whatever it is that gets you back in your body without having to go do jumping jacks or go get a sweat. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I love that is another somatic healing space for the brain is just to go for a walk, not a run, but a walk, and a walk where you are thinking what you're thinking and feeling what you're feeling. So it's an intentional walk, prayer walk, or whatever you want. But I think some of that just takes time, and you can't leave your kids behind. So find something that you can do. But the food thing is real, especially because here's the other thing to keep in mind. When you crave the Oreo cookies or the thing, it's not your taste buds craving it. And it's not even necessarily, not all the time, but most of the time, it's not even your body. It's not like your glycogen muscles are like, your glycogens are saying, yes, feed me, feed me. Your brain is saying, dopamine, dopamine, sugar, yeah. sugar, right? So yeah. it's like, this is that place where we have to stay sober-minded, alert, that I know I could have a cookie right now. And maybe it is have the one cookie, but can I stop myself? Or is it just, okay, can I have some watermelon instead? Because your brain doesn't know the difference between the sugar of watermelon and the sugar of cookies. Doesn't know the difference. It truly doesn't.
Okay.
We assign that with the pleasure of our eyes, and then the memories or the crunch or the texture of things too. That sets off a whole different light up system in us where that a watermelon might not, but you can hit the same need. The science has shown that it'll hit the same need as for the dopamine hit that your body wants. Your okay. brain wants, not your
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that eventually, or I'm hoping that you're going to tell me this, if I were to stick with it, not in a perfectionist way or a striving way, which is very mm-hmm. frankly the only way I know how to do things, sticking with it, it will eventually get easier and be something that I actually can enjoy and look forward to.
Yeah, and eventually, too, you've got to still find the thing that you enjoy doing. What these exercises can do and help foster, as long with your, you know, and doing all your community, and because we still need to talk about our things, which is what you're really, you know, we do. But you'll be able to, it's like that barrier, that mind-body barrier, the very thing you talked about, how I feel the best when I'm anxious, you know, my body, I like my body, like that's a barrier. That's not what God's created us for. As you do some of these exercises and get into yourself and do your word and pray and all the other things, that barrier will tear down. It'll come down so that you can actually get a new perspective or joy for going for a walk or doing a RevWell TV or whatever it is. And here's the truth is people do RevWell TV. And of course, a lot of people drag themselves and press play. And by the end, they feel great. Well, of course they do. Two things. One, your body naturally has a beautiful thing called endorphins. And, you know, it's that feel good chemicals come out. And then you just heard the word of God. It wasn't competitive. It was like, oh, this felt great. Great, great. That's good. But, you know, it's like I always feel the Lord shows me a difference. So there's so many Christians walking around like striking matches. Like, whew, okay, that was good. Whew, that was a light moment. When we were created to really be lighthouses, like we're always burning something inside of us that is like God's glory can be seen. So the more you do things like this, yes, like a year from now, you might actually then be, I think it will tear down the thing that you're like, I don't think wellness is for me. It will tear that down. I believe 100% that it will tear that down.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. My thought is just we live in such a comfort seeking. The American culture is just really placed to our flesh so, so good in ways that I think other cultures and other times they've had to push past. Some things yeah. we don't have to push past. And
yeah,
I don't know, just hard for me to not find comfort when it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And then I just start feeling bad and wanting to quit. So I don't know.
That's the big thing, but that is true. I think, Emily, I know you. I call you friend. I think you are the most big-hearted, loving, justice, like seeking, want, championing women. Like your prefrontal medial cortex in the Lord fires beautifully, and you're hard on yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
You are hard on yourself because somebody wasn't soft with you. I mean, that really comes down to like coming and being soft with ourselves. I saw someone there's a book coming out. Give her a shout out. She'll probably be on my show. I hope she'll be maybe on your show. I don't even know, but her book is called Trying Softer. I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's being published by Tyndale. The same publisher as me, and she's an EMDR, a therapist.
Oh, really?
She's,
I love
like,
that.
So it's a lot of the same stuff of like, we've been so hard on ourselves, and we wonder why so many people in the church feel burnt out and tired, and like, and then we condemn ourselves because we should know better. I'm a terrible Christian. Why can't I get this right? Okay, let me try harder tomorrow. And it's not working. So it's this try softer place. And I think it's such a crazy thing. Like, wouldn't it be like the Lord in a time that we're in where there's great comforts, great temptation, great kind of anything kind of goes now in the, you know, like there's crazy thing going on. And we're like, Lord, where are you? Like, you know, in a sense of help us. We're drowning in our conveniences and our options. And it's a hard time to live in. Isn't it like, it's kind of like when the religious people before Jesus came back were like, they were looking for a Messiah to like do something really strong and raise the right, you know, make things right. And I feel like the Lord's like to prepare us for the harder seasons we are headed for, because it just is in a kind of a godless country in a way.
Yes.
That to prepare us for such a hard thing, he'd actually want us to get softer, like to be kinder to ourselves. Like that would be his battle. That would be his battle plan. Like,
yes.
All right, gather up everyone.
Interesting.
We're gonna get healed from the inside out. Let me nurture you. Let me love you. Let me take you back to the beginning, that thing that you didn't get, because we have a big call on our life to be lighthouses and not just striking matches.
Yes. Well, it's so interesting, because when I want to be kind to myself, it usually involves abusing food, or you know what I'm saying? So I think just connecting, I've connected the wrong dots.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, that's good. So you know that. So then even going into any of this stuff you're going to do, like even asking the Lord, connect the right dots. I want to be kind to myself in a way that is not comfort.
Yeah. That's actually kind. It's actually good.
Yes. It actually says you're worth, like, you're amazing. You did it. And he thinks we're amazing either way. So I also want to just say disclaimer, because you always have to say it. We got to let ourselves off the hook for our bodies, in the sense of like, they should look like something. They shouldn't be this. They shouldn't be that. Like, that's just a losing game. Like, I'm going to write this post soon. And I've said it a few times, but I feel like it's time to say it again. It is a wicked thing. It is a wicked thought and a wicked thing to demand a woman or man's body to stay the same throughout the season of their life. Like, what is that? How it always comes down to, but like you said, you're not feeling good. The Lord does want you to feel good. And then the body will work itself out.
Yeah. So good. I appreciate you.
I love you. I hope really, truly this helped you. Yes?
Yes, definitely.
And no jumping.
No jumping involved. I do some jumping jacks. I will say I've made
good
some progress.
Good. Well, I hope now as you go and like, and I'm not saying you can't move, but don't should on yourself to move. If you're shoulding on yourself to move, then it's time to like tighten, do some of these things to get yourself back into that shame, that place in your limbic brain that just keeps, it's got you locked down, to connect back up to what does God say and what's the right choice for me? What's the next right thing that I can do while I'm in my body? You can do that.
I can do it. So I know that Revelation Wellness does challenges every once in a while. And I talked to you and you said you're going to do one coming up around Labor Day.
Labor Day, right around Labor Day. So this is, I haven't done this information to the widest of audiences yet. So this will be big. We talked about how we have to look for comfort that isn't in food, because that's an easy go-to and there's nothing wrong with food. It's how do we enjoy the food that we have been, I'm not the food police, but what we do see in the ministry is like, we definitely wave the banner of freedom. We want people to be free. It really, we've got to get a better vision of what our bodies are and like not go for the, you know, trying to make it look like something. But it does come down to all the time, how do you feel? How are you feeling? How are you sleeping? How's your energy? Energy is a big thing. I talk a lot about energy. So for the first time, we've done a lot of challenges before. We've done like clean hearting, which was all about, you know, eating. Clean eating is more about our hearts than the food that we have. We've done, and then we usually do like recipes and things like that. We've done the Little Way Challenge, which is just making small steps for 30 days. Well, this is the first time we're going after it. We are going to invite everyone to a 21 day, a 3 week.
I like that better.
Yeah, I know, right? See, I should say 60 days. No, wait, only 21. Okay, I can do that. It's a 21 day sugar fast. It is a reset for our brain, gut, and body. Hmm. Our brain, gut, and body. We're going to be partnering with a gal, Dr. Jana. And she is big on gut health. And if you've done anything, we've learned about how our guts are the second brain, neurotransmitters in our guts and our brains. They're very much, again, primitive brain, that gut space. And what happens when we eat too much sugar, comfort, right? Because our brains want comfort. The limbic brain says, comfort me, comfort. And then we do that. What it does to our body. So we're first to go, like, as I believe as believers, we got to be okay with, okay, it's like the Daniel fast, but we're really talking about sugar and gut health and brain connection as well. So it's not for the faint of heart. We're not saying you have to be perfect, but we're also going to say it's going to be hard. We're going to go in the cave together. Like, we all will go into the cave together. I did a reset with Jana a couple of years ago, and it changed. I mean, I was suffering from IBS. I had night sweats, achy joints. I mean, I was not good. And I had so much going on in my gut that needed to heal. Worked with her, changed a lot for me. A lot. And so I'm like, okay, more people need to give this a try. And everyone who's ever worked with her is like, game changer. So she's agreed to come over, and she's going to do the doctor side of it and the gut side of it. And I'll be doing all the spiritual, the reset for the brain according to God's perfect design. So that's going to happen.
So good. So I hope people will come. How can people find out about it?
It will be up on the website under our challenges page. So you can just go to revolutionwellness.org and look at fitness challenges. If it's not up there now, just check back, or be sure you're following us on our emails or our socials, and you'll see it. It's going to open up for signups probably about 2 weeks before Labor Day. So whatever that date is, I should know, somewhere in August. And then we'll close it. We close it down so that everyone who's going to get in, it gets in, and we all go together for 21 days.
I love it. I can't wait. And I'm also glad that it's not super soon, but yes.
Right. We'd purposely wait till summer's, like, because usually after summer, we all need a little like, okay, that was crazy town. Let's get normal.
Yes.
So you're going to do it with me?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm excited. We'll keep each other in it.
All right. Thanks, Alisa.
You're welcome.
So what'd you think? Did you learn anything? I did. Do you also believe that wellness just isn't for you? It's for other people, just not you. You know, it's funny. I don't know if I'm like a really bad commercial for being a Revolution Wellness instructor, because I am, if you can believe it, or if I'm just a good commercial that you do not have to be an obvious candidate for being a wellness instructor to be one. Also, I know all that stuff. I've read Alisa's book 3 times. I am a nurse. I know a lot about health and wellness, but we forget, or we believe lies that it isn't for us. And so then we live differently. What we believe affects the way we behave, regardless of what we know in our brain. Did you know all that stuff about the limbic brain? The brain is so fascinating. There's 2 books that I've read that are really amazing about the brain. Actually, Alisa told me about them. There's Switch On Your Brain by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And then The Body Keeps the Score. It's about trauma. That one's kind of hard to get through because it talks about a lot of different traumas, but it's really, really fascinating. Anyway, maybe this week you struggle well by reading some of those books if you're into that kind of neuroscience stuff. Maybe you go to revelationwellness.org and do the workouts on RevWell TV. I love it because the things that Alisa says, they kind of stick in your brain and you take them with you and use them throughout the day because they're true. They're truths about who you are based on God's word. Maybe you struggle well this week by following along with Revolution Wellness on social media so that you can sign up for that 21-day sugar fast in September. That does not sound fun, not at all. But do I want to feel better? I super do. So I'm planning on doing it. So like I said, I have cleaned up largely the things that I'm eating and the moving that I'm doing. I'm like starting to do moving is the way I've cleaned that up. And it's been just a little over a week and I already feel better. So I would encourage you, if you feel like you can't do it, that's not true. And just do something. Just do something. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, thank you for people who you've gifted, like Alisa, and others who are so encouraging and able to help us point our eyes back in the right direction. I pray that you'd help us get out of our own way and make one small step towards health, whatever that looks like. Lord, there's places where we get tripped up and we feel discouraged. Would you please help? You are the God of all comfort. Please comfort us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.